Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. The growing scandal around President Donald Trump is beginning to leave at least a few Republicans speechless. Since our last show on Friday, did you hear this? Just when you thought there were no bombshells left in 1 week, the New York Times revealed the existence of a document summarizing Trump's meeting with Russian officials the day after he fired James Comey, saying the firing relieves great pressure. Quote, "I faced great pressure because of Russia. That's taken off." An American official read the document to the Times over the phone. The paper says, we'll talk to Times journalist Maggie Haberman later in the show. She reported this story. But is that prima facie evidence of obstruction of justice? John McCain, maybe for the first time in his life, was at a loss for words when asked about the statement yesterday on Fox News Sunday.
I don't know how to read it except that I'm speechless because I don't know why someone would say something like that.
John McCain, speechless, priceless. But that's just John McCain, who's got a strong independent streak to begin with. What about the rest of conservative America? My first guest today is Charlie Sykes, who many of you know is our Wednesday night host on Indivisible, our national call-in for the first 100 days of the administration. Charlie, who had a 20-plus year career as a conservative talk show host in Wisconsin, had an op-ed in the Times the other day about the conservative media abandoning what used to be its bedrock principle of adherence to the rule of law in favor of embracing what Charlie calls anti-Trumpism. Let's see what he means. Hi, Charlie. Thanks for doing a little encore here on day 123.
Good morning. I am, unlike John McCain, not speechless.
Never speechless. Otherwise, you wouldn't have had your career. You quote Rush Limbaugh, never speechless, saying Trump is probably enjoying this more than anyone wants to admit. Firing Comey, then meeting with the Russian foreign minister. What an epic troll that is, unquote. So what did he mean by epic troll, and why does that represent a change for conservative media?
Well, that's a perfect example of anti-Trumpism, which is less a defense of what the president is doing, which is becoming more problematic, and more the enjoyment or the alleged enjoyment of anything that makes liberals' heads explode. And this is kind of the point. What an epic troll that because the media was upset, because Democrats were upset, somehow that means that Donald Trump must have been doing something that was wonderful and great. And this seems to be one of the themes that you'll see in conservative media these days.
And you cite a Fox News headline as another example, Dems in meltdown over Comey firing. You mean the story was sniping at Democratic reaction rather than analyzing the firing itself?
Exactly. And you're seeing that pattern playing out in the wake of those bombshells that you were just describing from Friday. Do not underestimate the ability of the conservative media to downplay, deflect, change the subject, turn it around, you know, make the story not about what did Donald Trump just say to Russians in the Oval Office bragging about firing the FBI director. Instead, let's talk about Democratic hypocrisy, over-the-top reaction, media bias, and, of course, the old standby whataboutism. Well, what about Barack Obama? What about Hillary Clinton? And that seems to be the template that you're seeing, I think, on a lot of either Fox News and as well as talk radio.
You wrote that anti-Trumpism has become the new safe space for the right. Interesting choice of words. Safe space from what?
A safe space from having to defend the indefensible. There are a lot of commentators who probably are looking at this and going, "Oh my goodness!" You know, pounding their head on the desk. What do we say about something as reckless as the president's behavior or his tweets? But the safe space is okay. Don't so much talk about that as do what, frankly, we do best, which is bash liberals, bash the media. This has been. I think one of the consistent themes of conservative media, and I was certainly part of that. And so the safe space is that you don't go down the rabbit hole of defense. What you do is you just turn the tables. And again, for a conservative talk show host, that doesn't want to get crossways with his audience. And the audience is still very pro-Trump. I mean, this is something to keep in mind, you know, that despite all the polls you're seeing and some of the squeamishness that you're seeing in Washington, the Republican base is still strongly behind Trump. So if you don't want to bash Trump and you can't bring yourself to defend him, go to the safe space of just making liberals' heads explode.
Charlie Sykes is with us, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. You quote one observer saying, anti-Trumpism allows the right to indulge its hatred of liberals and liberalism while sidestepping the need for a reckoning with the disaster of the Trump administration itself. I'm curious if you see that mostly as a commercial strategy for conservative media, because as you say, their audience is still largely with Trump, like Rush Limbaugh on Fox News, or does it extend politically to Republican members of Congress as well?
Well, that's an interesting question, and it's a mixed answer. You have to be careful there. I do think that I'm watching Republicans in Congress who are edging away from the Trump administration, and I think there's real growing anxiety that they may actually lose the House of Representatives. I mean, that's the real shift this week is how much chatter you're getting about the possibility that this will be so bad that there'll be a Republican wipeout. But they're going to be reluctant to break decisively with Trump as long as this base, as you point out, is solidly behind Trump. So it's a little bit ideological. You know, conservatives want their guy to succeed, or Republicans want their guy to succeed. But again, look, talk radio and Fox News are businesses. And there's a commercial aspect to this. The business model is not to attack something that the audience wants to hear. In fact, I think a lot of people tune in because they want to have their biases confirmed. They want to hear what they want to hear. That's the safe space aspect. So the business model that works, it would certainly not include bashing Trump or going, okay, you know, now we really need to think about President Mike Pence.
How sustainable is anti-Trumpism as a safe space for the right if Trump continues to look incompetent or corrupt or even criminal?
Well, this is an extraordinarily interesting question, but do not overestimate the sort of the backlash on the right. My sense is that the stronger the attacks on Trump, they're sort of a countervailing rallying around, circling the wagons, whatever metaphor you want to use, this sense that there's a coup going on, that that the left and the media and the never-Trumpers are plotting to undo the election. So there's a certain stiffening of support, at least in the short run. It's also a reason why I do think that critics need to make sure you take a deep breath. Do not overstate. Don't go for hyperbole. Do not overplay the hand, because, you know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Let's take a phone call. Anthony in Port Chester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, how you doing, Brian? You know, as a citizen journalist, you know what? I've talked to a lot of Republicans, and I've worked with a whole company full of Republicans, and they don't seem to be as happy as they were, especially when it comes to health care. You know, I mean, interviewing people in Yonkers and Mount Vernon, you know, the first topic on their list is what are they doing with health care and this $54 billion military budget that he's proposing. I don't see this big Republican base anymore. And I work in a company, a small company of 22 people, and at least 16 of them are Republicans who are not happy anymore.
Interesting. Anthony, thank you. So, Charlie Sykes, what are you seeing on the ground, whether in Wisconsin or wherever you're talking to people? Do you think that the polls showing that the people who voted for Trump are really not falling away and they see him being picked on by the media and by the Democrats and by the FBI director, even as he characterizes it that way, you know, despite how it may look to us that they're just blind to reality, to facts on the ground that are becoming evident, or do you think that, as Anthony observes with some people, the combination of the investigations and policy failures on health care or whatever are actually beginning to erode the base more than we see?
We have to unbundle that a little bit because you do, of course, have the hardcore Trump base, which is not budging at this point. And these are the cult of personality folks. But then, of course, you have that really interesting and crucial group of folks who voted for Barack Obama twice, but voted for Donald Trump because they thought he was going to be something different. These would be the Rust Belt voters that flip states like Ohio, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And I do wonder how they're going to react when, in fact, they see some of the things that are in the federal budget, including on health care. There are a lot of them who, go back a little bit. You know, Donald Trump promised that he was going to protect Medicare. He's going to protect Medicaid. He would not touch any of these social programs. And the reports that we're getting now are that are very, very deep cuts into the budget. And, of course, we've seen what health care reform looks like. What happens to those voters? Those voters who are not necessarily ideologically conservative, but voted for Donald Trump because they thought he was going to do a variety of things, that he was going to drain the swamp, those voters might actually be in play. And then you have a third group, which would be the suburban, better educated Republicans who held their nose and voted for Trump. They weren't in favor of him during the primary, but they figured it was a binary choice, and however bad he was better than Hillary Clinton. You know, there's some real, you know, I think chagrin going on. The problem is, will the Democrats be able to provide a more attractive alternative? You can't beat somebody with nobody. So I think that's part of this dynamic. You have the hardcore Trumpkins who are not moving. You have some of those people in the middle who bought the populist line who might be disillusioned. And then, of course, you have the better educated Republicans who are probably just, you know, shaking their heads.
And how about for yourself, Charlie? I mean, you're obviously concerned about the basic challenge to the rule of law from Trump firing the guy who's investigating his campaign. You wrote as much. But you also wrote that conservative critics of the president, like yourself, find yourselves isolated and under siege. But you wrote that last week, before these last few eye-popping revelations, before McCain was left speechless, as in that clip we played, by the notion of Trump actually saying to the Russians that firing Comey relieved great pressure on the Russia investigation. Are you feeling any less isolated today?
Not yet, but I mean, look, the most obnoxious words in the English language were, "I told you so." Donald Trump is Donald Trump. He is who we thought he was. He's not going to change. And for all the folks in Washington who believe that there was a pivot coming, and of course he was more reasonable and moderate in Saudi Arabia over the weekend, but he's not going to change. And his character is his destiny. And at some point, I I'm not going to say that I'm not, you know, consistently surprised and shocked by some of this stuff, but it will be interesting to see. You mentioned John McCain several times. Well, who else other than John McCain is breaking this hard? And now, you know, what you're going to need is you will need a critical mass of respected, principled Republicans who will basically stand up and say no more. And right now, John McCain is the tip of that spear, but he's still pretty much alone at this point.
He is. I even interviewed Republican Senator Ben Sasse here last week, who was the tip of the anti-Trump spear during the campaign, but now he seems to have fallen back in line and become all mealy-mouthed. So that was an interesting indication. Before you go, in the largest sweep of history, do you think the conservative media vehicle of being increasingly about hating liberals more than standing for ideas came out of the blue because of Trump and they had to figure out how to rationalize Trump? Or was it a longer-term trend that was good for ratings and actually laid the groundwork for Donald Trump?
I think it's the latter. I think this was coming for some time, and I think as people look back on the legacy of Roger Ailes, you see the way in which that media genre was created, and it was to stoke up anger. It was to defend certain things, but it was largely the sort of anti-liberalism, anti-leftism. And so, no, Donald Trump did not create this conservative media environment. He is a product of this conservative media environment.
Charlie Sykes, recent apostate from that groupthink, is writing a book called How the Right Lost Its Mind. He was our Wednesday night host on our WNYC series Indivisible for the first 100 days of the Trump administration. His Times op-ed was published May 12th. Thanks, Charlie. Let's keep talking.
Okay, thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us.